Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Yud Pei Amud Bet by the two dots where it says Zain Beit HaPras Ose Beit HaPras. This is the next statement in the Mishnah. As we discussed in the Mishnah, this is a case where a farmer is plowing his field, and unbeknownst to him, there's actually a kever, there's a grave in the field, and he goes ahead and he plows, and we assume that the plow has dispersed the bones over the field. And that's what's called Beit HaPras. We'll see the size of that in a couple of minutes. The question is, what does that mean? Ein Beit HaPras Ose Beit HaPras. So Gemara says, Matnita and Delok Rabbi Eliezer. Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanan, Rabbi Eliezer mer Beit HaPras, Ose Beit HaPras. So Rabbi Eliezer clearly argues on our Mishnah because he says a Beit HaPras makes another Beit HaPras. Okay, I'm going to come back to explain Rabbi Eliezer's position after we discuss the position of the Chachamim because it's Machloket Rashi and Tosafot had explained Rabbi Eliezer. V'Rabbanon, the Rabbanon who say, Ein Beit HaPras, Ose Beit HaPras. So then what do they do? Ad Kamo. How far do they think that the bones get dispersed from this grave? We're talking about three fields and two plow lengths. So if we're speaking about a field that the farmer plows in, within that field, we don't know where the grave is. It's somewhere within that field. Now, when the farmer plows, we assume that he's either plowing east-west or north-south. He's only plowing in one direction. He's not going to plow in two different directions because the furrows run in a single direction. So therefore, either he's going to go north-south or east-west. That means that the field that, if he's plowing north-south, that is north of this field and south of this field, those two fields will be affected by the Beit HaPras. They'll be affected by the fact that there's a kever in the other field because we don't know where in the other field it was. And it could be all the way at the edge of the field. It's all the way at the edge of the field. It could be drawn from there into the other field as well as the other way. How far do we worry about the disbursement of the bones? That's a mana. Mana is a furrow. And mana is, the Gemara is going to say, v'kama melo mana. How far does it go? How much is a furrow? Me'ama, 100 amot. So basically, the Gzeirat Chachamim about a Beit HaPras is that if we don't know where the kever is, then we assume 100 amot in every direction is considered to be a Beit HaPras. Now, every direction is not literally all four directions, but rather the directions in which they plow. So if they plow north-south, it'll be to the north side and to the south side. If they plow east-west, it'll be to the east side and the west side, 100 amot. Now again, if you know exactly where the kever was, then you could just go 100 amot in each direction. Over here, we're uncertain as to where the kever is. We know that it was in the middle field. We just don't know where in that middle field the kever was. And therefore, it could have been all the way in the northern end. It could all be all the way at the southern end. And therefore, the field north of it, 100 amot into there, we're going to worry about. And the field south of it, 100 amot into there, we're going to worry about. And that's what Shlosh Sadot Ushtei Manot. Kiritnan, as we have a Mishnah. Achureshet HaKever Oseh Beit HaPras Malo Ma'ana Me'ama. So we have a braita that says explicitly that when you plow over a kever, you distribute, you disperse the bones over an area of 100 amot, because that is the length of a plow's furrow. And we assume that you've dragged the bones that far with the one plowing motion that you've taken up to that point in time. So that'll be the position of the Chachamim. Now let's step back and say that we said Rabbi Lezer is not the author of our Mishnah because he says Beit HaPras, Ose Beit HaPras. So what does that mean? How is he different than the position of the Chachamim? So Rashi claims, it's the last Rashi on Yud Pei Amud Bet, Kol Arba HaSadot Shesaviv. It affects all four fields around it. Not only the fields to the north and south, but even the fields to the east and west. Suppose the Chachamim will think the fields that are affected are only the ones in the plowing direction. I mean, if you plow north-south, the northern field and the southern field, east-west not. Or the other way around, if you plow east-west, then the eastern and western fields will be affected, but not the northern and southern fields. But Lezer disagrees and says all the fields are impacted by that one field that has the kever inside of it in all directions. Now Tosafot takes issue with Rashi and says, makes no sense. Why would you ever consider, if you plow north-south, why would you ever think that the east-west should be a Beit HaPras? It makes no sense. There's no logic to that type of argument, and why would that be the position of Rabbi Eliezer? So he says, L'chein yirah l'freish, Rabbi Eliezer mer Beit HaPras oseh Beit HaPras, do olam, ma shenechrash mi Beit HaPras l'sadeh acher she'etzlo, aseh Beit HaPras. That there's no limit. The Chachamim have 100 amah limit, which is the limit of a furrow, that's a single plowing of a furrow, and that's the limit that they place on how far you make a Beit HaPras. Rabbi Eliezer says that there's no limit. As long as you plow from one field into the next, then that classifies that field as a Beit HaPras. So if we have a kever lost in a field, and we plow north-south, the field to the north is affected by the fact that you plow 100 amot, you plow into that field. Now, if you plow from that field even further north, that'll extend the Beit HaPras even beyond the 100 amot. As long as you plow from a field that once had a possibility of having bones in it, and you continue to plow, that will extend the Beit HaPras as far north or as far south. So that's the shita of the Tosafot with regards to Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says there's an unlimited to the north or south as long as you're plowing from one field into the next. Rashi says it means that Rabbi Lezer thinks that you can have a beta pras in all directions. It's not only north-south, but also east-west. Vein truma achar truma. Our Mishnah says that you can't have truma after truma. Matnitan mani. Who's the author of Mishnah? It says Rabbi Kiva, it must be Rabbi Kiva. We have a Mishnah, whereas according to the Tosafot and the Tosafot Yom Tov over here, it's a bright Tanya. Hashutafim shetarmu zechar zeh. That they took off truma one after the next, sequentially. Rabbi Lezer Omer trumat shnehem truma. Both of their trumot are good truma. Now remember, truma has no shi'ur. So technically, if you're mafrish truma, you can be mafrish all the way until 99% of the produce. And you can give even the smallest amount than your yotze in terms of truma. The Chachamim gave shirim of 1/40th, 1/50th, and 1/60th that are the basis on which we tried to be mafrish truma. So now it says here, if you have two shutafim, one comes and is mafrish truma, then the second one comes and is mafrish truma. So both of them are truma because they both are partners in this group. And by the fact that each partner went and was mafrish truma on his own is an indication that he doesn't rely on the other partner. And therefore the truma is good for both of them. Rabbi Kiva Meir, ain't truma shnehem truma. Rabbi Kiva says neither of their trumot are good. And that's what Rashi says, afilu shel rishon. Even the first one's truma is no good because they are partners and the partners need the acquiescence of each other. And by the fact that the second partner came later on and was mafrish truma is indication that he didn't give permission to the first partner to take off. And therefore, neither of their trumot is a good truma. If the first one took off kishi'ur, meaning that the echad mi chamishim, the 1/50th, the normal shir of chachamim, then the trumat sheni is not good truma. Vim lo taram kishi'ur, if he took off less than that amount, then trumat sheni truma. Then the second one's truma is a good truma, because he was not mafrish in the first shot enough, and therefore the second partner is coming just to build on top of the first partner. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, ben kach ben kach, it's not truma. In our Mishnah, Rashi says, na mistama kamar hilkach Rabbi Kiva hi. Our Mishnah also says, ain't truma achar truma. Doesn't tell us, qualify it. Doesn't say when and which circumstances. It just says, truma after truma is never truma. And that's like Rabbi Akiva. Tosafot raises the issue because our Mishnah is just says, ain't truma achar truma. And if you compare it to all the other cases in the Mishnah, for instance, ain't mura usa tmura, which is the next line in the Mishnah. When we say ain't mura usa tmura, it's not that the first one's not tmura. It's that the second one, if you take tmura, you try to create tmura from tmura, it doesn't work. On the other hand, the first one is tmura. So over here too, how could you say that ain truma achar truma means neither of them are good truma, like Rabbi Akiva says, based on the Braita, and then apply that to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah should read ain truma achar truma means that the first one is truma, the truma afterwards is not truma. So how do you reconcile that with Rabbi Akiva? That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosafot takes issue with that because of what we just raised, which is that the fact that is, if you say ain truma achar truma means neither of them are giving truma, then you're in a position where it's inconsistent with the other explanations with the remainder of the Mishnah. And therefore, Tosafot says, when you say ain truma achar truma over here, it means the first one is truma, the second one is not truma. Now, Rashi's interpretation of Rabbi Kiva is correct. If you go to that Mishnah of the Braita, that is the correct interpretation of Rabbi Kiva's position. Rabbi Kiva says that neither of them are truma. So how do I reconcile between our Mishnah, which says the first one is, the second one is not, and the quote that Rashi is relying on, which Rabbi Kiva's position is that neither of them can give truma? So Tosafot explains that there's a difference. In our sugi over here, it's a case where the partners gave permission to each other to be mafrish truma. And therefore, the first one's truma is a good truma. The second one's is not, but the first one is, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Whereas the sugya where we're speaking about it, we explain the position of Rabbi Kiva that neither of them are a good truma. So where that neither of them gave permission to each other, the trum. That means each one's coming independently to take off truma. That doesn't work because you need the permission of both partners. Therefore, neither of their trumot are good. So they want to keep consistent the language of the Mishnah that the first one is good, the second one is not good. So in order to do that, they have to create a new kimta in our case, which is that this is a case where the partners gave each other permission. Rabbi Kiva's core position, when we discuss it, where he says neither of them is a good truma, is in a case where they do not have permission. Rashi, on the other hand, wants to maintain Rabbi Kiva's position. Rabbi Kiva says, ain truma achar truma means that they are not good at all, not good whatsoever. So there, based on his sheet over there, Rashi brings it over here and applies it over here, even though that's inconsistent with the rest of the way that the Mishnah has read in terms of Ein Zeh Achar Zeh. Right, then afterwards we say, Ein Tmura Ose Tmura, my time. What's the reason for that? Amar Kra, Utmurato, Velutmurat Tmurato. It's who? Utmurato, yeah, Kodesh. Only one derivative becomes Kodesh, not a derivative of a derivative. So that's why it doesn't work when you have a Tmura of a Tmura. Ven Avlad Ose Tmura, Damar Kra, who, Velo Avlad, the animal itself is able to create Tmura, but not the Vlad. The Vlad, again, is a derivative of the mother. Since it's a derivative of the mother, just like Tmura can't create another Tmura, so to here, the Vlad cannot create another Tmura, because the Vlad is a derivative of the mother. The Rabot et Vlad says, who Tmura to iye kodesh? Iye is a riboy. A riboy to say that even a Vlad can work to create a Tmura. Verabonon. What do the Rabbanon do with that extra word, iye? So they, the Rabot, Shogeg Kemezid, that comes to tell you that you will get Malkot here in Tmura, both for Mezid and for Shogeg. And what we speak about of Shogeg over here, this is not your classic case of Shogeg in the rest of the Torah. In the rest of the Torah, first of all, he says, Omer Mutar. In a case where he says, oh, I thought it was okay, I didn't know you couldn't do Tmura. Or he says, I didn't know about this halacha, I forgot, whatever it is that creates the Shogeg, over there, that's shogeg the rest of the Torah. That's not the shogeg we're speaking over here. If he makes such a mistake, he is a shogeg and he will not get makot. The case here is where he intends for a specific object. He says, I want that white cow over there to become kodesh tachat this korban. And it turns out it was a black cow. Or there was some sort of mix-up in his defining of the object in which he wants to put the kodesh. That's a case of shogeg. It's a case where he doesn't get exactly what he wants. His kavanah is not carried out to the fullest extent. Nevertheless, he'll get Malkot, because he intended to do Tmura, even though the object upon which he wanted the Tmura to come out was not exactly what he thought, or exactly what he wanted. But he wanted to perform Tmura. And that's why he'll get Malkot here, even in this case of quote-unquote, Shogeg. And that's different, as Rashi points out, than Hekdesh. By Hekdesh, Hekdesh Ta'ut is not Kodesh. But by Tmurat Kodesh, it works, even if it's a Ta'ut. So that'll be a distinction between primary Hekdesh and this derivative Hekdesh, which is primary Hekdesh, only works if your intent is fully carried out. And then by the Tumura, even without your full intent being carried out, nevertheless, because of the Iyeh, the Riboy will say that you'll get Makot for that. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah, and we'll finish off our Perek, which is, Hofot ve'aminachot enosim Tumura. Hofot ve'aminachot don't have a din in Tumura. Below ne'amar ve'lo be'hema. The pasuk that we have is, be'hema be'hema. It's talking about animals, not talking about hofot ve'aminachot. Hatzibur v'ashutofim enosim Tumura. They cannot create Tmura, Shinemar, lo yachalifenu, velo yamiroto. It's written in the Lashon Yachid. Yachid ose Tmura, ven etzibur, veashutofim osim Tmura. Kodshe beregabayit ein osim Tmura. Kodshe beregabayit do not have this concept of exchange that makes both of them Kodesh. And that's because we're speaking about Korbanot. In the case where we're speaking about who, Tmurato ye Kodesh, we're speaking about, and the pasuk before is clearly speaking about the context in which it is. It's talking about kodshe mizbeach. Now along comes Amar Rabbi Shimon, Vare maser bechlal haya. Rabbi Shimon wants to have the same limudim as the Tanakama, except he learns it from somewhere else. And we'll discuss in the Gemara why he learns it from somewhere else. Vare maser bechlal haya, velama yatsa. Maser would have been included in all the dinim of Tmura. We have a pasuk of Tmura that is found in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, v'im beima sheyakrivu mimena karban Hashem, kol asher yitem mimena l'Hashem yakodesh, lo yachalifenu, v'lo yamir oto, tov bera ura betov, yamamer yamir beima b'beima yahu utmurato yakodesh. So that's the pasuk where you learn out the core tmura from, and that would have applied to maser as well. Later on, at the end of Perek Chav Zayin, we have the pasuk says v'chol masar bakar v'tzorum kol asher yavor tachar hashavet hasiyeh yakodesh l'Hashem, lo yivaker ben tov l'ra. So now you have another din of Tmura that's mentioned specifically by Maiser Behema. So why does Maiser Behema get its own special marking? And that's what Rabbi Shimon explains. Rei Maiser Bichlal Haya, V'lama Yatsa, Lomer Lecha, to teach you, Ma Maiser Korban Yachid. Maiser Behema is always of a Yachid. Yatsu Korbanot Zibur and Shutafim. Uma Maiser Korban Mizbeach. Maiser is Miuad, end up on the Mizbeach. We're talking about Kedushat Aguf. So too, all things have to be kodesh mizbeach, yetzu karbanot, bedek habayit. So that excludes things that would have been included under bedek habayit. So based on that, Rabbi Shimon wants to learn out those limudim from the pasuk by maaser and not from the core pasuk itself. And now the Gemara explain why that is, that he does that. Tanu Rabbanan. Yochol Yehu Kodshei Berek Abayit Oseim Tumura. I would have thought that Kodshei Berek Abayit would have been included in the parsha of Tumura. Tamal Omar, Korban. Pasuk says that we're talking about a Korban. V'im Behema She'akribu Menu Korban LaHashem. That's the introductory pasuk to the parsha of Tumura. Mish Nikru'u Korban. Something that's called a Korban. Yatsu Kodshei Berek Abayit Shalom Nikru'u Korban. So it's only things that are Korban, things that are Ru'ui L'Mizbeach, not things that are Mu'ad for the upkeep, the Berek Abayit for the treasury. Velo, is that really true? V'atanya, we have this by Shchutei Chutz. E Korban. If you were said just Korban, Shomei Ani Afilu Kodshei Berek Abayit Shenikru Korban. I would have thought even Kodshei Berek Abayit are included under the Issur of Shchutei Chutz. Kinyan Shdei Amar. Because we have a pasuk that says v'nikravet korban Hashem, and over there it's not speaking about korban in the sense of mizbeach; it's talking about korban in the sense of a gift. Tamel Omar vel petach omoid lo hivio. V'ba'al petach omoid chayvin ala mishum shchutei chutz. V'ocho shein ba'al petach omoid in chayvin ala mishum shchutei chutz. It has to be something that was ra'oy le petach omoid, something that otherwise should have been in petach omoid. That's what you're chayev for shchutei chutz. By berek abayit, that's not true. By a mizbeach, that would have been roi the petach omoid. Now you put out shkutei chutz, you're chayev shkutei chutz, not berek abayit. But what you see from here is that the word korban would have included berek abayit. Alma, you would conclude from this, ikru korban, that berek abayit is called a korban. Amar Rabbi Chanina, lokasho, ha-Rabbi Shimon, ha-Rabbonon. There's no question between that, there's no stir over here. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. This is the opinion of the Rabbonon. Rabbi Shimon ikre korban. Rabbi Shimon believes that kodshei berek abayit are called a korban. The Rabbanan, lo ikre korban. On the other hand, the Rabbanan don't believe that kodshei berek abayit are called korban. Velo, the Braita brought a proof to that position. Aktiv, v'nikravet korban Hashem. Rabbanan answer, korban Hashem ikre. They're only called korban Hashem, that noun phrase of al korban. La Hashem, lo ikre. They are called korban Hashem, but where they're not called is what the pasuk here says. Vim beima ashe yakribu meno korban la Hashem. That they're not called. That means that they're not called solely Karban, that will be given for Hashem. They are called together in that noun phrase, Karban Hashem. So therefore, they're not included in the Pasuk over here. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon will be the author of that, Braita by Shchutei Chutz, that thinks that Karban would have included Berek Abayit. Whereas, the authors of the Braita over here, that says, Yochol Kodshei Berek Abayit Osim Tumurat Amalomar Karban, will be authored by the Rabbanan. And that's the same reason why Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah gives an alternative reason why Kodshei Berek Abayit are excluded. He does not exclude them from the word Korban, and therefore he needs to go to Maaser Behema in order to create his exclusion. Tan Rabbanan, Lo Yivaker Ben Tov L'ra, V'lo Yimirenu, Lama Ne'amar. Why is this said by the Parsha of Maaser Behema? Halo Kvar Ne'amar Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yimiru Toto B'ra. We already have the Parsha just a little bit before in the same Perek that tells us about Tmura. V'fish Ne'amar Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yimiru Toto. Mashma Karyan Yachid, Mashma, Korban Sibur. Korban Mizbeach, or Korban Berek Abayit. I wouldn't have known. Over there, Korban Yachid, Korban Sibur, it could have been either of them. Korban Mizbeach, Korban Berek Abayit, it could have been either of them. Tamad Lomar, Lo Yivaker. Therefore, we bring the Pasuk by Maaser Behema. And now, the Braita continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Now, this Amar Rabbi Shimon is not that he's the author of this latter half, he's the author of the entire Braita. It's just the introduction to why Rabbi Shimon's opinion is like this. Arei Maaser Beklalaya. V'lama yatsa, Maaser was included under the din of Tmura, so why does it have its own parsha of Tmura by it? V'lama lecha, ma Maaser karban yachid ve'karban mizbeach? Just like Maaser is a karban av yachid and karban mizbeach, v'davar sheba b'chuva. Number one, it's a karban yachid, not tzibur shutafim. Karban mizbeach, not berek abayit. Davar sheba b'chuva, something that comes as an obligation. V'davar sheno b'shutafut, which is also the opposite of karban tzibur, af. So too, the only karbanot that create Tmura are karban yachid, Bekarban mizbeach, bedavar sheba bechova, and davar sheino b'shutafut. So all of these things, one of those qualifications out of Maaser Behema. And that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is really premised on the fact that he can't learn out of the word korban, that excludes berek abayit, and therefore he learns it all out of Maaser Behema. Alright, that's the first way to read this Gemara. Rashi actually has a lishna achrina. Then that girsa is ha-Rebbe, ha-Rebbe Shimon. It's a machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon is ikrei korban. The Rabbi lo ikrei korban. According to that Lishna, the Mishnah is en plukta elokul Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is entirely authored by Rabbi Shimon. And when the statement in the beginning of the Mishnah says kodshei berek abayit eino osim tumura, it's not because they learned how the word korban. Ella, it's Rabbi Shimon saying it, and then he explains his reason later on, just like he does in the Braita. And then the Gemara goes on to explain Tanu Rabbanan. This Tanu Rabbanan is hi Rabbi and hi Rabbi Shimon. Where's the opinion of Rabbi and where's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? D'Tanya. And we have this Braita, and we brought the position of Rabbi Shimon over here in the Braita, and we're going to see the position of Rabbi in a second. Rabbi Omer, Lama Yatzat Maser. Why is Maser separate or different than all the other Korbanot with Tmurah? Lidon b'tmurat shemo u'tmurat gufo. To tell you that has a different type of Tmurah associated with it. It has a Tmurat shemo and a Tmurat gufo, which we'll get to in 1 second. So just to clarify again, the one way to read the Gemara, which is the way we read it first, Samachloket Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the author of that Mishnah Braita by Shchutei Chutz. The Chachamim are the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, is in the Sefer of our Mishnah. And then we brought a Braita just now that explained the position of Rabbi Shimon. That's the first way to read it. The second way to read it is actually that it's a machloket Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi. Rabbi, we're going to see in a second what his opinion is, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes Kochei Berakabayit are called Korban. He'll be the author of the Mishnah in Shchutei Chutz, the Braita in Shchutei Chutz. He'll be the author of our Mishnah here as well. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon in the end is just coming to explain the first half of the Mishnah. And we'll get in 1 second to Rabbi's opinion, where Rabbi says that Kochei Berakabayit are not included in the word Korban. And therefore, he uses Meiser Be'ema for a different reason. And that is, now we're going to explain this according to Rabbi. Rabbi's opinion is that when it comes to Meiser Be'ema has two ways to pass on its Kedusha. One way is the normal way that you have by Tmura, where you try to take the Kedusha off of this animal and place it on another animal. The other way is Tmurat Shemo, is that if you mistakenly call an animal the 10th animal, we saw this before, if you call the 9th the 10th, or you call the 11th the 10th, they're also Kodesh. That's called Tmurat Shemo. So you have Tmurat Shemo and Tmurat Gufo by Maser Be'ema. Lomar Lecha, Tmurat Shemo Kreva, Tmurat Gufo ain't a Kreva. When it comes to Tmurat Shemo, if you call the 9th or the 11th the 10th, they go on the Mizbeach because they are classified as Shlamim. Since they're Shlamim, they go on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Tmurat Gufo is not, we've seen this before, we have a Gzeres Shavo between Maser Be'ema and Bechor from the Havara Havara. And we already saw by Bechor, it's who velo tumurato. Only the Bechor gomes on the Mizbeach, not its derivative, not its tumura. And the same is true by Maser. Tumura of the goof of the Maser will not go on the Mizbeach. Tumurat Shemo nig'elet. If you call the 9th or the 11th, the 10th by accident, you can redeem it. You can redeem it because they're Shlamim. They're regular Shlamim now. Regular Shlamim, if you get a moment, it, you can redeem it. It's Psulei Mekdashim. Tumurat Gufo, on the other hand, is Eino Nigalet because it's the same as the Maser. Just like the Maser is Eino Nigal. So too, the Tmurat Gufo Eino Nigal. Tmurat Gufo Chal Al Davar Ruoi V'Al Davar She'Eino Ra'oi. Tmurat Gufo applies to something that has a mum and something that does not have a mum. Whether it's a tam or a bal mum, if you try to exchange it, it works because we know it's Ben Tov B'Rao Rabbi Tov. On the other hand, Tmurat Shemo Eino Chal Al Davar Ra'oi Bil Vad. Tmurat Shemo is only effective on something that is ra'oi to be a korban, only if it is not a bal mum, is it effective in making it kodesh. So now the Gemara asks a question. Amrei, mishum de Rabbi Rachmana, de it beit tmurat shemo, igrue igra. Okay, Rashi has two ways to read this. Tosfot mentions it as well, that there are two ways to read this Gemara. I'm going to read it the way that Rashi favors, and then I'll come back and explain the other possibility. The first one is, what is this happening over here? Now the Torah included an extra level of tmurah by Meiser Be'ema, meaning Tmurat Shemo. So now what are you going to assume? Tmurat Shemo and not Tmurat Gufo? It makes it worse. Here it has more power than any other animal, and the fact that it's able to make Tmurat Shemo, not just Tmurat Gufo. So then why would I have all of a sudden thought to take away from Tmurat Gufo? Yes, Tmurat Shemo, yes. Tmurat Gufo, no. Or it says in, yes, we do that. Damrina and Maida Rabbi Rabbi. O Maida Lo Rabbi, Lo Rabbi. Whatever's included is included. What's not included, it's not Gugudin. Baha Mehecha Teta. And where do we know that principle from? The Amar Avuna, Brei Rav Shua, Mishum Dava Dovar Aban Lidon Bidvar Chadash. It's something that was included in a general principle, and it left to be taught a new din. Vein Boili Chidusho Bilvad. Then it only gets its Chidush. It does not remain under the general rubric of Karbanot. Since it was taken out to learn something new until the Pasuk brings you back to the original state, this Korban or this item will have a separate din. That din is Dushat Shemo or Tumurat Shemo. So Tmurat Shemo takes Meiser Be'ema out of the Parsha of Korbanot, or regular Tmura, and therefore the Pasuk has to bring it back in to have it included in Tmurat Gufo, and that's why it has to repeat it over here. So that's the explanation of why Tmurat Shemo works, and we still need Tmurat Gufo to tell me that it works by Meiser Be'ema, because I would have thought Tmurat Shemo is what works here, and that's out of the Parsha of all the other Korbanot, which have Tmurat Gufo, and therefore this doesn't have Tmurat Gufo. Well, when it comes to Pasuk, teach me it gets Tmurat Shemo and Tmurat Gufo. So that's the one way to learn this Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara, which Rashi does not favor, he brings it, and then he says he doesn't like this explanation for a number of reasons, but I'll just read it to you so you understand what that other option is when the Gemara asks about Mishum de Rabbi Rachmona, Dibai Tumurat Shemo Igrua Igra. So over here, the last thing that we said was that Tumurat Gufo applies to Mum and Shein Bo Mum, Tam or Baal Mum. Whereas Tumurat Shemo only works on something that's a Tam. So now the Gemara is asking, wait a minute, why does Tumurat Shemo only work on a Tam? Here, Tumurat Shemo is something even bigger than Tumurat Gufo. It works just by speaking. It's something that only applies to Maiser Behema. It should be more Chamur, and it should work both on a Baal Mum and on a Tam. So why over here do we say it only works on a Tam? So Gemara says, my Rabbi Rabbi, my Dolo Rabbi Lo Rabbi. Shemo is a derivative. It's from the word Bakar. It comes to teach you that it's a shlamim. Shlamim, it can't be a baal mum. So therefore, since you learned it out from that pasuk, that's the only din that will apply. And where do you know this din from? It's a new principle. This principle that you can create a shlamim by calling the 9th, the 10th, or 11th, the 10th, that principle is going to be limited to whatever is learned in the pasuk. The pasuk says shlamim. That's all that you're going to be limited to. We're not going to extend it beyond that chidush at all. So that's the other way to read the Gemara. Rashi rejects it for a number of reasons, one of which is that Davar Bali Dom Bidvar Chadash is used in the first sense that we used it, which is you have a totally new din that's being brought out, not something over here where we're talking about the din of Tam versus Baal Mum, and that there's a new din here and we're going to apply it to both or not. Of course you're not going to apply it to both. If it says Shlamim, it says Shlamim. There's no Havamina. Why would you ever have a Havamina to apply it to more than that? So Rashi rejects this Lishna Achrina, and he favors that first Lashon. So Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchok the Rava. Li Rabbi Shimon. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Damar, a Devar Abba Bechova, only something that comes as a Chova can create Tmura. Olat Chova, he, the Avda Tmura. If it's an Olat Chova, it'll make a Tmura. Ha Olat Nidava Lo. But that would suggest that if it's a voluntary offering that you bring as an Olat, then that would not create Tmura. Amalei, Olat Nidava Nami. Olat Nidava also can create Tmura. Because since he accepted the Nidavan himself, therefore it'll make Tmura. Because it becomes an obligation now. The fact that he accepted it upon himself makes it into a Chova. So since it's now a Chova, an obligation for him, even if it's a Nidava, even if it's not a Neder, but a Nidava, it's still an obligation to bring this Korban. Once it reaches that state of obligation, it's already classified as an Olat Chova, the Gabei Tmura. So even though it's a Nidava, it's a voluntary offering, nevertheless it'll be classified as an Olat Chova, regards to Tmura. But then what is it coming to exclude? If he says Olat Chova, and it's not coming to exclude Nidava, what is it coming to exclude? You only need it from an Olah that comes from leftovers. Certain Karbanot, that if they are not used for their primary purpose, they get used, or their proceeds get used to bring Korbanot Olah. And that Olah that comes afterwards, that will not qualify to make Tmura. Now that's based on a machloket, we're going to see in 1 second, but there's a machloket, what do you do with this extra money? For instance, an asham. An asham that's nitakti around that's made into an ola. That's an ola that comes from the motorot. It's an excess asham for whatever reason. And that excess asham will be turned into an ola. Now that ola, who brings it? This is a machloket. It's a machloket whether the individual who the asham belongs to brings the korban ola himself. Or does the money fall to the tzibur? And then the tzibur brings an ola from those proceeds. But it's the tzibur that brings it. So now he says, Maikasavar. Ikasavar lak in mandamar motorot in the dvat zibur azle. If you think that leftovers, these olot, go to the tzibur, pshita do avda tumura. Of course it doesn't make tumura. Ain't tumura by the tzibur. We already established there is no tumura by the tzibur. Ela, it must be that Rabbi Shimon Svirle, kmandamar motorot in dvat yachid azle. Rabbi Shimon must hold like the one who says that motorot are brought by the individual. Since they're brought by the individual, that's what's going to be excluded from the Baiser Be'ema. It's going to teach me that there is no tumura by an individual who's bringing these leftovers as an olah, these leftover ashamot, or these leftover karmanot, that turn into olot, when he brings them individually, they will not have a din in tmura. So man shmait lei hai svara. Who has this svara, or this position that motorot are for the yachid? It's Rabbi Eliezer. Hashmainen lei, the hedja, the avda tmura. But we've already heard from Rabbi Eliezer himself that you can make tmura from this case, the Tanya. Olah haba mina motorot, oset tmura. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Eliezer says that an olah that comes from the motorot can make a tmura. So since it's being brought by Yachid, it can create tmura. And he doesn't have this miut of Rabbi Shimon. So you're saying Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Eliezer. You go look at Rabbi Eliezer, the Shittato. Rabbi Eliezer says that he thinks it's a nidvat Yachid, and nevertheless it can still create tmura. Titania, olah ba mina motorot, oset tmura, divi Rabbi Eliezer. And Rav Lau comes from the Motor Road, can make Tmura, that's the position of Rav Lezer. Rav Shimon, he holds like him in one position, no, doesn't hold like him in another position. There Rav Lezer, Savar Ola bin Motor Road, Oset Tmura. Because Rav Lezer holds that an Ola that comes from Motor Road can create Tmura. Viu, and Rav Shimon, Savar Ein Oset Tmura. It doesn't make a Tmura. So Rav Shimon holds, number one, that when it comes to motorot, they are a korban of the yachid, like Rabbi Eliezer. But he's not like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer thinks then it has a din of tumura, regular tumura. You're talking about a korban yachid. But then Rabbi Shimon has the miut out of Maiser Be'ema, that has to be davar shebechovah. And this is not a davar shebechovah, this is a motorot. And therefore it's excluded from the parsha of tumura. And there he'll disagree with Rabbi Eliezer's position. Ihochi. So if this is the case, this is going to take us a flashback to Friday's daf, the Bai Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin posed this question. Now, when he posed this question, he says the Divrei HaOmer. Now, the Divrei HaOmer over there was a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was about the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon there said that Ein Meimir Choseru Meimir. You can't have a Tmura make another Tmura. So we know that that's true if you tried to take one Beima, and then you go ahead and you place it on multiple Beimot. It doesn't work according to Rabbi Shimon because it says Beima Bibeheima. The question that we had was, if a single animal, you were Meimir with it, and then you want to afterwards repeat it again and be mimir with that same animal. Not simultaneously, but sequentially. Reish Lakish says it works, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan says that even in that case, Rabbi Shimon would disagree and says there is no tumura. When you do it sequentially, there is no tumura. Then Rabbi Avin posed these questions. What happens if it's shtei gufot? What happens if it's shtei kdushot? Does Rabbi Shimon still in those cases have this position that it doesn't work? So that's what the Gemara says. Now, I don't understand that question now, because the Bai Rabbi Avin, the Rabbi Avin asks, Hifrish Hasham lit kaper bo. Person separates out an Hasham in order for kapara. Vehemir bo, and he created Tmura with it. Vinit kaper by Hasham acher. And then it got lost. This Hasham got lost. Hasham A got lost. And he used Hasham B in order to be mitkaper. And then afterwards, the first one is found. V'niktak zeh l'ola. And then this one went out to be an ola. Mahu sheyachzor v'yamir bo. The question we asked, or the question we posed there in the Lishna Achrina was, Mahu sheyachzor v'yamir bo. Can he go back and then create tumura again with this? It's shtei kedushot bebehema achat. It's the same behema, but has two kedushot. The first one was an asham when he did tumura. Now it's an ola when he wants to make it into a tumura. So that was the question that we posed. We left it as a teiku, that we don't know what that status of that Ola is. But why is it a teiku at all? Aliba Daman. Who are we speaking about over there? Ilei Malabi de Rabbi Shimon. If you're talking about Rabbi Shimon, Hamar. Now we just established Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, really Ola haba min amotarot, enosim tmura. That an Ola that comes from amotarot doesn't make a tmura. That means that Rabbi Shimon believes that this Hasham that turns into Ola cannot create tmura. It doesn't matter what you think. He says motarot don't make tmura. So it doesn't matter if this is a separate Behemah, a separate Kedusha, none of that matters because this is now an Ola, which is a Motarot, and we just saw Rabbi Shimon say it doesn't make it. So why do we end up with a Teiko? But he said it doesn't work at all. Where it says, Rabbi Avin Hochi Kami Baile. This is the way Rabbi Avin posed his question. Imishkacha Tano, Dikpai Rabbi Shimon, if we have a position like Rabbi Shimon, the Mar, Ein Meimirin, Chozrimu Meimirin, you can't do more than one Tmura out of an animal. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you can't, even when you do it sequentially, you can't do it. So he holds like Rabbi Shimon in that case. But severe like Rabbi Eliezer, but he holds like Rabbi Eliezer in our case over here, that Mar Ola Bamina Motura Oseh Tmura. Then Ola that comes from the Motorot and Hasham that turns into Ola does have a din of Tmura. Mahu Sheyachzir V'yamir Bo. So that's the question that was posed by Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin's not doing it completely in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. He's saying, yes, based on Rabbi Shimon's Shita here, by Tmura, Choser V'oseh Tmura, then I want to know the din, if there's another Tanu who thinks that Motorot can make Tmura, what's the din? Mahu Sheyachzir V'yamir Bo. B'shnei Gufim G'dusha Achat Mai. When it's two gufin and one kedusha, what's the din? That was the case in which he separated out. It got a mum, and then he exchanged it to another animal, but they're both ashamot. What's the din over there? Or if you went to Salomar, shtei kedushot v'gufachad, my, and the din of our din over here, which is shtei kedushot v'gufachad, is a case where he was mitkaper with another asham, and then this asham goes out to be an ola. So it's the same animal, just it was an asham before and an ola here. What's the din over there? And that we leave as a tibai or teiku. We leave it as an unresolved question. As Rashi points out over here, that tibai is the same in the Yerushalmi as teiku in the Bavli, which again leads us to believe that Mura has a lot of the trappings of Yerushalmi in its style. Okay, we'll stop over here.